Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I hope you've recovered from yesterday. I hope you're feeling well this morning. Welcome you to Drift Run Church, visiting, or whether you're just here or just here every week. I want to say, you know what? I am thankful. Thankful for the hearts and souls that make its way out here for this Sunday morning. I've got a question for you. Are you willing to be hated for the gospel? Are you willing? I mean, that's just something that I want to talk about. I'm going to be in Mark 13:13. If you would, turn there. We'll have a word of prayer here in a second. Mark 13:13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to read that again. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, again this morning, I come, Father, again with thanksgiving, Lord. I praise you for your mercy, for all that you have bestowed upon everyone in here. Lord, I pray, Father, that the word would go out, Lord. I pray that the Spirit would move, Lord. Father, we know without the anointing, there's nothing, Lord. We know that, Father. And we, Father, we just believe that in our hearts, Lord. We pray for the hearts here this morning, Lord, that they would be open, Lord, and to the understanding of your word, Lord, and to the understanding of what's being said and done here this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Any of you in here know who Gianna Jensen is? Have you ever heard of her? She's an abortion survivor. And let me tell you what it means by being an abortion survivor. Her mother, whenever she was 17 years old, was in her third trimester. They lived in Wisconsin, and they could not get an abortion in Wisconsin at the time, so they went to California. Her mother did, 17-year-old girl. Tried to have a saline solution abortion, which failed, and she was delivered. It did some pretty bad physical things to her. But anyway, she's an advocate for pro-life, and she's an advocate for for disabled. But anyway, one of the statements that she made, and she made this statement, to be a follower of Christ, you need to be willing to be hated. She understood what hate was about. Whenever she spoke up against abortion, she understood that. And of course, this does not mean being hateful. It does not mean that. And whenever I say that, I don't want you to think that. It doesn't mean to be hated. It doesn't mean that we need to be hated. Nor does it mean, nor having persecution complex. I hope nobody in here has that. So people think that you think don't like you because of Christ. You know what? That's not the case sometimes. When they don't like you is the way we act sometimes as Christians. You get that? I'm all for graciousness. I'm all for kindness. I'm all for a servant heart is what I'm about. Whenever I preach to you about things and whenever I preach to you about subjects, you know what? I believe we need to preach the love, and I believe we need to speak it in truth, and we need to do it with all kind of love. I seek this when I'm talking to non-Christians. I seek it a lot. I want to make sure that I get across the message, but I want to get across the message that they understand that I'm doing this in love. But at some point, the greatest kindness we can offer, and I want you to understand this, is the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter how that comes across. The good news can tick people off. Do you agree with that? I'm here this morning to tell you that the news that Jesus Christ is the one that died for their sins and that we have to have Jesus as our personal Savior can tick people off. It can tick them off. The danger comes when we live in such fear of being mislabeled that we don't step up and speak the power of God in truth. We need to step forward and we need to do it unapologetically. Do you understand that? We have the gospel that we do not need to apologize for, no matter way, shape, or form. We should do that. Do what we believe pleases our God, pleases our Lord and Savior, regardless of how it pans out in the latest opinion poll. I'll tell you what, there's people out there that are ticked off at Christians. That includes loving others. That includes loving them and giving them radically and ministering to them down, those who are down and out. Do we understand that? There are a lot of people who are down and out, and they need the gospel. They don't need the latest opinion poll in how to get them to where they need to be. They need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ in their lives. We need to address addiction for what it is. Saying, you know, we think it's wrong to kill children of all ages. Do you agree with me on that? I believe it's wrong to kill any child. Helping people find alternatives. We should say it's wrong to live together out of wedlock. We should say, yes, it's wrong for a man to be married to a man and a woman to be married to a woman and do such things, not seeking the approval of the culture, but seeking approval of our King, of our Lord and Savior. And when we do that, even if we do it in love, they are going to be ticked at us, Rick. They're not going to like us very much. They're just not going to. So we should get over that. We should get over that. We're not here to be liked for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we seek the cultural approval, we're not seeking the approval of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll either get it right. I want you to understand this right now. Get it only at the expense of falling and failing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we want approval of this world out here, that is what is going to happen. We are promised if we live godly lives in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. Have you read that in the Bible? It's in there. If we live godly lives, we are going to suffer persecution for serving our Lord and Savior. Now you say, well, not in this country it has not got to that extent yet. We know that. But do you not see overseas where they're being killed, where they're being persecuted for standing up for Jesus Christ? As I spoke of Wednesday night, when it's talking about the Muslims, and I'll be quite blunt with you. Do you realize that Christianity is growing among the Muslims over in the foreign countries? It's growing. Why? Because whenever they're persecuted, whenever Christ is persecuted, whenever Christians are persecuted, that's whenever things really stop, whenever people start really getting serious about serving the Lord. That's why. If you're suffering persecution at some level, then what does that suggest? If you're suffering persecution at some level, what does that suggest? That you are doing what Jesus Christ wants you to do. But sometimes, you know what? If we're not circuit, we should certainly be nice. Don't get me wrong. We should certainly be nice. And it's sad when Christians aren't. It is sad when Christians aren't nice. I've told you this before because I believe this. You know what? I've talked to waiters and waitresses out at Sunday, whenever we've been out and about at restaurants. And guess what? Guess who the people they hate to wait on the most is? Christians. Isn't that sad? Isn't that appalling? I'm not saying we should not stand up for our rights, but whenever it's said that we are the ones that they hate seeing coming in, we've got to be nice. We've got to be nice. But also, it is also sad when we imagine niceness as a greater impact than what it really does. Niceness is not the gospel. Do you get that? You say amen? Niceness is not the gospel. Some modern concepts of it say that it is. A little more than being nice to your neighbor. Maybe loaning them your hedge trimmers. Maybe loaning something to them. And you know what? And hoping somehow that they will come to Christ. Let me tell you something. If you have the opportunity to talk to your neighbor, if you have the opportunity to talk to a co-worker, and you know what? Just being nice doesn't cut it. If the Lord has led you there and the Lord has opened up a heart, you tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. Don't beat around the bush. Tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And guess what? I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the only way that you can ever hope of finding God and seeing God one of these days. They may not like it. They may get ticked, but listen to me. It is what we are called to do. Amen? Amen. It is what we are called to do. Without you actually, you know what? You hope that that you're actually going to come to know Jesus without us ever saying a word to them? I believe that we are the only Bible that some people ever see. I believe that. But you know something else too? I believe God has given us these lips to where we need to speak the truth whenever the opportunity is afforded us. Our good example is important, but it's not sufficient sometimes. Listen, there are actual truths that must be that they must grapple with and people must understand. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to what? The Scriptures. And that He has seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that He has seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. And let me add something else to that too. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. That is the gospel. There are people out there. There are those out there that we come in contact with on a daily basis that have never heard that. You may find that that's hard to believe, but it is, especially in this country we live in. You said this Christian country. Listen to me. The churches have failed. I have failed. And may I be as bold to say, you have failed. The gospel of Jesus Christ has to be brought out to those. There's those who we think that know that may not know. It's up to us. And these truths are expressed in the Word of God, and they must be expressed by us as Christians. Yes, there's a possibility when you tell these people this stuff that they are not going to like you very much. That they may not want to hear anything else that you have to say, but listen to me. They've heard it. They've heard it once. And that's all that we can hope for. That's all we can say. I'm all for trying to understand the perceptions of this generation and trying to come down to almost to their level to try to talk to this generation. I understand that, but not at the cost of diluting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? But instead of letting the world set our agenda, instead of letting the world set mine and your agenda, we have an agenda. Right here it is. The world is not going to set our agenda if we step out and serve Him in truth. We have an agenda, and that's to take as many people to heaven as we can take with us. Listen, don't let them tell us what we can and can't say. Let's ask the Lord how best to take the message to a lost and a dying world. How to take the gospel to these people, to let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ still saves today. Still saves today. I say this coming out of some of the conversations that I've had of these so-called cool Christians. You know what a cool Christian is? The answer is not altering the content. It's not altering the content of what's in here. The gospel to make something everyone can easily agree with. Listen to me. Not everyone's going to agree with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to agree with it. I'll tell you, I've come to realize that the more that I walk, the more that I preach, the more that I'm out amongst this world, that people are not going to agree. You know what? They'll tell you. You know, I had a guy talk to me about this the other day. He said, now I don't have to be in church to be with the Lord. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Why would he put it in there if we don't have to be in God's house? We need to be in the house of God. I need it. I need it as a preacher. You need it as Christian. You know what? And we were talking about it. He said, oh, I can feel God right out beside the streams. You know what? Guess what? When I'm out, I talk to God too. But listen to me. It is the Word of God that brings salvation to a person. It's not being beside some stream and being beside some stream and looking at all the nature of God. It is the gospel coming into your heart that saves an individual. It's God's gospel. Given the price he paid for it, given the price that Christ paid for on the cross, listen to me. He has all the right to set the agenda, does he not? He has all the right to set the agenda. The message is not popular. He has all the right to say Jesus Christ is the only way. I guarantee you that's not popular. Our job isn't to edit the message. Amen? Our job isn't to try to edit the message, the gospel. We're not up here. I'm not up here to try to edit. If I ever take away or do anything that's contrary to the Word of God, I expect the people in Drift Run Church to set me straight. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm here to tell you, if I hear you trying to edit the gospel, it's my job, not because I don't like you, not because it's my job to try to get the message across that, hey, that's not right. Among some believers, the new definition of a good Christian is holding your beliefs private. I do not believe that. Do you understand that? We are a light on a hill. We are the salt of the world. How in the world can you, if you have something inside of you that has changed you so much, hold it in there privately and not let the world see what's going on? How can we do that? I don't, tell me. I want to, how do we do that? Not challenging those who publicly share beliefs that dishonor Christ. We cannot do that. You know those who hate gays? You know, guess what? Those who oppose abortion, favor all kinds of, love to burn witches. That's what they call us. That's what they try to put us down. That's what they try to say. I'm here to tell you, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate a soul. And I believe I believe the people in this church don't hate anybody either. And guess what? You know what? We spread the gospel because we love. Because we love. We do. We so much want the world to like us. We so much want the world to like us that we end up distancing ourselves from what Christians are really all about. Listen to me. I don't listen. I don't want the world to love me so much that, you know what, that they can't see Jesus Christ in me. We end up making ourselves unrecognizable to the world. Isn't that a shame that whenever we walk out amongst the world, that you know what? That they don't recognize us from the people that are really in the world, that they can't recognize us, and we go right along, we fit right in. I believe the Bible tells us that we don't fit in. We won't fit in. Therefore, having nothing to offer the world, Romans 12:2 tells us this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes we think that the moral high ground is when we see one of those street preachers, we just roll our eyes and walk by and say, you know what, that guy's kind of crazy, and congratulate ourselves that, you know what, we're not like him. We're not one of those Jesus freaks. I dare say, and I hope you don't get offended in this, I dare say that some of those street preachers have seen more people saved than we have in our lives. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. Listen. But there have been people who have come to Christ through that ministry. There have been people who have come to Christ. It's more of a stretch to name those that have come to Christ, you know, that we have brought to Christ. It's not our job to be popular. We're not contestants on American Idol. Hey, man. There ain't one of us in here that's a contestant on American Idol that I know of. Maybe you are. And we are not Christ's speech writers or his PR team. We are just to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as plain and as true as we can. He calls the shots. We're just the ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. And I like this scripture. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that you reconcile to God." Listen, let us represent God. Let us represent Jesus. And let us represent Him to this culture, to this generation. Lord knows, they need it just like we needed it. Amen? There's nothing new. There's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes said. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new today. You think, with all the modern technology, with all that we have, yes, it is awesome, our phones, our computers, all that we have. But guess what? There's still nothing new under the sun. Sin still sends people to hell. And there's just more ways to get it out there now than what there used to be. It's always been true. Dr. D.L. Moody once said, "I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it." Whenever people were talking to him and criticizing him about the way he preached the gospel. It's not gracious and kind to withhold the gospel from anybody. Do you believe that? It's not gracious and kind whenever we keep our mouths shut and people are just freely and deliberately going to hell. We keep our mouths shut and don't let the gospel go out the way that it should. There's nothing gracious and kind about that. Not a bit. Not one thing. Sometimes what we imagine to be our graciousness, what we imagine to be our kindness, is actually cowardice. All men will hate you because of me, is what I just read to you a little bit ago. John 15:18. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. People are going to reject Jesus Christ. They're just going to do it. Make sure we stand up in love and we tell them the truth. And if they're going to reject it, let them reject it. But you know what? Let's make sure that they hear it. Let's make sure that they hear it. People today have no problem standing up and telling they proudly what they believe in. Am I right? Listen to me. Just watch the news. Watch the news. They're proud about how they believe, what they believe. We need to be the same way. I'm proud of Jesus. How about you? I'm proud of the one who died for me. I'm proud that He thought enough of me to die for my sins that one day that I could go live with Him in eternity. Isn't that awesome? I am proud of Him. And you know what? I want the world to know that I'm proud of Him. They come get a song.